Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and with the Lord's help, we'll conclude a message I've been sharing on holiness. And I'd like to begin by reading 1 Peter from the first chapter, verses 13 through 16. He writes, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Verse 16 says, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." And of course, that word conversation means not just speech, but manner of life, manner of lifestyle, how you live, speak, a totality of your life. And so undoubtedly, the Apostle Peter had Leviticus 11:44 in mind in speaking as he does on holiness. Yet there is a difference. Guided by the Holy Spirit, he changed the imperative command, "Ye shall be holy," into a loving, appealing exhortation, "Be ye holy." All right, so what does holiness mean? Well, by definition, Webster says to be set apart to the service of God, sacred, referring to like the priesthood. In this context or understanding of the term, we must say that we are holy because of what God has done in our lives. This refers to our position in Christ, what He's done for us, totally apart from our own efforts, outside of our initial repentance from sin and accepting Jesus as our Savior. But what are the characteristics? Well, a secondary definition by Webster says it's characterized by perfection and transcendence, commanding absolute adoration and reverence. And of course, only God Himself is equal to this definition. But the second aspect is to be spiritually pure or godly. It refers to an ongoing progression in our spiritual walk, which is affected by our attitudes and, of course, the choices we make, the decisions of our will. This is the admonition in 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, "We're to perfect holiness in the fear of God," something we are to seek after, to strive toward, and to attain. And how can this be accomplished? Well, we need to walk in the Spirit. Praise God. What does it say in the epistle of James? He is saying in that second chapter, verse 24, you see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. And so we have to see that our entire spiritual, our walk depends. You see, our God gives us liberty. He does not force us. He can make us really desire to do something, that I'll grant you. But the human will is sacrosanct as far as the Lord is concerned. Unlike the ways of the world, unlike the ways of the world that seek to control and dominate, or unlike the enemy who drives, he gently woos, he invites, and whomsoever will may come and drink freely of the waters of life. That's the nature and the ways of our God. One author remarks, "No words can describe holiness, for it is known only to those who yield themselves to God. Holiness is complete conformity in all things, great and small alike, to the holy will of God." Basically, beloved, it's being at one mind with God in all the judgments of the mind and in all the feelings of the heart and in all the outgoings of life, simply agreeing with God's estimate of things. In other words, our will is to do God's will. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Thomas Carlyle stated that holy in the German is the word heilig. It also means healthy. And guess what? Our English word whole, W-H-O-L-E, means all of one piece without any hole in it. It's the same word. So you couldn't really get any better definition of what holy really is than healthy, completely whole, completely healthy. Holiness, says George Goodman, is to have a conscience clean through the blood and a life guided by the Spirit through the Word. It is to have the power of Christ resting upon you and to be glad and to rejoice in the freedom that He gives. Now, our flesh doesn't like holiness. The carnal Christian does not like holiness. Why? Because some Christians, while they may not vocalize it, they really don't even like to hear about holiness and coming into perfection in Christ. Why? Because it means a lifestyle change. It means that they're going to be responsible to the Lord. And these people, some are just satisfied they're saved and they're on their way to heaven. They might be satisfied, but let me ask you a question. Is God? You know, it's dangerous for us to be a judge in this matter. You know what? The priest had to wash at the laver whether he thought himself clean or not. In conclusion, then, as we draw this message to a close, not that it is comprehensive by any means, there are four things that we need to observe about this subject of holiness. One is the condition of holiness. And this condition is pointed out in 1 Peter, that first chapter, verse 14. It's pointed out as obedience. And we need to hear what the apostle is saying. Peter says, gird up your minds, be sober as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. To put it simply, we are to be obedient to all the known commands and desires of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that means we have to know the Word. We have to be familiar with the Word. We have to read the Word. That's why this ministry and every valid God-ordained ministry emphasizes the importance of the whole counsel of God. How can we know what God wants if we don't know, if we don't read? That's why He's given us the Word. And then also, we do need to be obedient to the ways the Holy Spirit moves upon us and prompts us to do certain things. So that's the condition of holiness. And then, of course, there's the pattern of holiness or the example. Exodus 15:11 says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Praise God. But as He which has called you is holy, so are we to be holy. Our gracious God and our Lord Jesus Christ are the true pattern. And we know that one day, we can strive and do all that we need to do in this life, but we will not be in sinless perfection until we are actually with the Lord. Then we won't be in spiritual warfare any longer. The power of sin won't continue to dwell. Remember Paul said, in my flesh dwells sin? But there's that's the law operating in his members, but there's a law in his spirit man that is against that refuses that. And that's the same for us. So we've looked at the condition of holiness, the pattern of holiness, then there's the imperative, if you will, of holiness. What do I mean by that? That word imperative? Well, it means it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Beloved, God gives us free will. The opportunity for many choices exist in our Christian walk. We can choose to marry or to be single, but it is not left to our choice to ignore the pursuit of holiness. It is our duty to devote ourselves to God, to allow the Holy Spirit to work with us as far as allowing Him, showing us how we can be sanctified in our daily walk and grow in grace from glory to glory, to be transformed and changed. And then finally, there's the possibility of holiness. That's what we can rejoice in, because the very fact that God in His Word urges us to be holiness should be quite sufficient to settle the very possibility of holiness. He wouldn't ask anything that we couldn't do. Holiness is completeness in Christ. We are in Him. Holiness is both a gift as well as a process. You know, we looked at this a few moments ago. A gift because our place of redemption and is because of who we are in Christ, what we've experienced is our place of redemption, and it's our sanctification in Christ. But it's a process because it has to be worked out daily. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. For the Lord would say, my beloved, yeah, I have called you to walk in the beauty of holiness. And in doing so, I shall establish the work of your hands. I have called you to be like me. And if you will allow my Spirit to work with you, to be sensitive to my nudges, to my leading, you will see that there is an upward walk, a way of victory, a way of victory over your weaknesses, over the sins, over the failures of your past. And you shall truly see that it is from glory to glory that I am changing you. It is a work that my Spirit will do, but that requires your submission and your surrender to me. I call you, beloved, come and let us walk together until we see one another face to face, says your God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Beloved, that time is coming. Amen. Jesus is returning soon. Well, I invite you to write and share your prayer requests. I thank you for joining me. I love you dearly. I pray for you every day. My UCM partners, many times the Lord brings your specific needs to my heart in my morning time or throughout my day. Just know that I love you deeply. And my radio family, I do invite you to become part of my spiritual family. It's my letters that I send out are all meant to encourage. Sometimes there's funny things, inspirational things, is whatever the Lord would bring to touch and bring His presence into your life. I love you. And until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.